ABC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city didn't save me.
How are we going to do this into the time shift?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
That bolt of light
from the future.
Because you can inspire
me. My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you will. Heroes. Legends.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on CW Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile. We're on bunches of apps like iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. Search DC on CW. You can find us there. You can leave reviews and tell us if you think we're cool or if you think we suck, which I hope you don't. Otherwise, why are you listening? All right, so...
In this day and age, people just listen just to tell you you suck.
You're right.
That's true.
Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. We don't ever write good reviews for anything. We just write to complain.
No.
I do.
I'm horrible. If I leave a review for something, it's usually because it's solid. You know what I mean?
Like, or really shitty.
But I actually usually don't take the time to write shitty reviews unless it's like horrible. Anyway, we're going to be talking about Supergirl season 4, episode 11, Blood Memory. This was a sad little episode for me. I don't know. Got me the feelsies. But Kara and Nia go to Nia's hometown, which is like weirdly inclusive and peaceful. To learn about that inclusion.
And have the exact opposite happen.
Pretty much.
Okay, so a little bit of news this week. The Mary Sue, which is a website that I don't always particularly care for. They can be a little inflammatory, but when they get stuff right, they're pretty cool. It just depends on who writes the article, which I guess you can say about most places. One of their writers, though, did an interview with Nicole Maines about the show getting trans representation right, which I feel like they did. I'm not trans, so I can't speak from that perspective, but like, as someone who's known people who are, I feel like that seemed genuine. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually like the whole message of, you know, it was supposed to go to the first daughter. And, you know, yes, you are my daughter. You know, the superpower getting moved like that. Even though you weren't born that way, you are my daughter. I thought that was like the most inclusive statement they could have made for the show.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Because they could have went so many different routes and you're wondering how this is going to go over. And I was like, all right, well, they did that really well on how they brought it in. Because I think we were always worried about, you know, the CW and their pushing agenda. Not pushing agenda, but you know what I mean? They always have something going on. And they handled this real well, and I bought into everything that they did. So, and if she's happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's really the most important thing.
Yeah, you don't cast somebody and then do something that they're like, nah, this isn't how this really is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if she agrees with it, I mean, she's the person living as a trans woman. So if she approves and agree, then awesome. You're doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was great. I know that a lot of people are worried about certain representation things in shows just being kind of shoved in for the sake of being there. And that does happen sometimes, and that can be a concern, especially when people aren't a part of that group and they try and do that still. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to write for a group that they're not a part of. But I hope that the way that they decided to take this character helps open up some more people to it as just like a, oh shit, this is just a good character arc. It just, it happens to be something that they were, a story that they were able to tell well. And it just feels like a real story. It doesn't feel like, well, she has to be trans because we need a trans person to round out our, like,
that was
Captain
the,
Planet, like,
our bingo
queerness.
Board.
Yeah. Bingo board. Queer bingo.
What characters don't we have?
Like LGBT bingo. Woo. Right. Yeah.
We have our gay superheroes. We have our bi superheroes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to get too much into this article, but yeah, I mean, go to the Mary Sue, read this if you're interested, because there's I feel like I'd have to just read the whole thing to really like get the gist of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But as long as Nicole Maines seems happy with it and is, you know, excited about this role and how it's being portrayed, and I'm sure she gets to bring some of her own bit of experience into the matter. Well, like, that's,
let me ask you this. Did the way they did it, is it any different than you thought it was going to be?
I don't know, because I don't know what I expected.
Because we always, again, we worry about with these shows and getting it shoved in our face a lot. And it really wasn't. It's only been like the whole trans thing's only been brought up a couple times.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And that's all the community really wants, is just be treated like normal. So if you're not, like,
yeah,
shoving in our faces, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, we forget that this person was once male.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be in the world. Like, who cares?
And we talk.
You do you.
Exactly. Well, and you wonder if that's what she brought to the character. Like, hey, I accept this role, but I need you to write this a certain way. It, you know, we're not all just like in your face. This is who I am. We're normal people. We want to be treated as normal. Go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
All righty. Well, let's move on from that. Let's take a quick break and we'll get right on into the episode.
I love it.
Are you crying?
No.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
It's operational.
Kaz constantly announces himself. You know how he announces himself all loud? Hey, Sonara, where are you at? He announces himself like someone that walked in on someone masturbating and looking at porn. Like, it's like, you know what? I remember that one time when I was like 17 and I walked in on my father and he was jerking it. And you know, from here on out, I'm going to start announcing. Every time I sneak up on people, I'm just being like, hey, I'm here. Bear.
Bear.
I mean,
bear.
I mean, that's what Maggie does now, my wife. I mean, ever since she walked in on me and I was looking at porn on my four computer screens, because, you know, just one screen isn't enough, apparently. And I'm like, no, next time. Announce yourself. Hey, Michael, I'm coming down the hallway. Michael, put your penis away.
Your penis away. Pull up your pants.
Doesn't he act like that, though? He acts
yeah,
like someone that,
he does.
That had a bad experience once. Like, he walked in on someone, and now he's going to make sure everyone knows he's coming now. Like, hey, guys, I'm down the hall. Please.
I'm down the hall.
Stop what you're doing.
Don't mind me. I'm just walking through.
TheBackTheTank.com for details and get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you.
ass butt.
I really complain about that.
I was just super bummed that she was old. And,
as you would be.
As she wasn't as hot as she was last time. And she looked more like the old version of... What's the chick in Kill Bill? The one that has...
I know who you're talking
about. Uma Thurman?
Yeah.
Wait, which one? The Daryl Hannah?
Yeah, Daryl Hannah. She looks like a
Sidewinder?
Yeah, she looks like an old beat up version of Sidewinder.
Old beat up version of Sidewinder.
Don't be. You know so what? There's rude. No room for ageism in this show.
Ageism? That's a new one.
That's not actually.
That's a real thing.
It's been around for many years.
Oh, Jesus.
That's not a fake word.
It sounds like a fake word.
Yeah,
Jesus
racism.
Christ.
Nice one, Mike. I'm glad you made that one up, too.
As if people get offended by when you degrade them for how old they are.
Look.
Now get back in there and make me a sandwich.
She looked like she'd be the one that would drive backwards down the frickin' highway because she could barely...
See, that is what we call ageism, listeners.
Yeah.
It's more like truthism. Go to Sun City here in Arizona. Go to Sun City in Arizona. You'll see it. She probably lives there.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Lily was like, I gotta come from Arizona.
Anyway, regardless of Ryan's
hold on, I'll help you guys after I take my blood pressure medicine.
I gotta take my Geritol real quick. You guys have an extra walker I can use? I left mine in Arizona. I left mine in Arizona.
That's so fucked up.
They made me check it when I went through I had to go through the machine and my pacemaker might have gets.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I hope someone horrible makes fun of you when you're old. Like, just throws shit at you.
I'm gonna be the crotchety old guy that laughs at those jokes, though. Because I'm old, dude. At that point, you've lived just about everything, right?
Just about everything.
Might as well make fun of yourself, dude. I'm going to have like a replacement hip. Shit, my mom has a replacement hip. Now I'm making fun of my mom.
He's just digging himself.
So as Ryan tries to backpedal out of that grave.
My mom doesn't listen to this
whatever
show.
They have done with Meredith Glynn.
Like, that's what we're worried about.
Yeah, I know. His mom's ratings.
Please, we don't want to offend Ryan's mother.
Ages. That's where we draw
the
line.
Who spawned this piece of shit?
Don't miss Supernatural The Crossroads every week on Rain Man Digital. Go to SupernaturalTheCrossroads.com for more information.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it, no free stuff. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, we are back. Let's get into this episode. So this week was directed by Shannon Coley, written by Jessica Queller and Dana Horgan. Okay, so let's just skip right on down. We got some more Red Sun something or other this week. I feel like this is an entirely like separate show, and it's like a mini episode, like in each Supergirl episode. Like, it's just a totally different story.
It's one of those Pixar mini movies at the beginning.
Oh, Bob, your voice.
Yeah, I know. Hold on. Yeah. The new host.
Yeah, I. Like, okay, so we're getting more, and it's clearly picking up the pace, but still, we're like halfway through the season. I think we're exactly halfway now, right?
Yeah.
And we're still like, Okay.
This is Red Sun Supergirl. She is very Russian. She is in Russia.
Russian. That's it.
Like, yeah. Whoop.
In Russia, she bleeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And dies. Or something.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so what, do you guys have any, I guess this is mostly directed at Bob because, you know, theory central, but do you guys have any speculations about that Supergirl and what we're seeing and I don't know, her training?
I don't think we're
going to
get
her
at all. Like, I don't think that's like a storyline.
What makes you think that?
I just don't know where we can go. Like, we don't know really what the big bad is right now, because the Sons of Liberty are just kind of whatever. Or Children of Liberty
show up this week either.
we see a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But we don't have a big bad. This is moving too slow. That if, you know, they're magically going to introduce her, or she's going to fly over and do something in America and they're going to think it's real Supergirl in the next 11 episodes.
Yeah. Oh, wait, though. But the way they ended the episode, I think they are very slowly trying to tie it in, because they're like, we need to speak with someone in America.
In America.
Dun, dun, dun. Dramatic effect. Anyone think it might be a Luther? That guy needs to contact?
It's always a Luther.
It's always a Luther.
Dicks. I was like, what if it's Lena? Behind it. Screw that guy. I'm just angry at this like old white man who's like the epitome of the racist patriarchy.
I mean, if they really want to like tie that into real events, then it would be the president.
Honestly, though, it's like it is probably like a Luther.
Yeah.
That, yeah. It's probably like Lex that he's got to talk to. And he's like, we get and you out of prison.
That would be how they bring him in. There you go.
Take machine to kill the supers. Like, that's, I don't know. A horrible Russian accent. But
it's better than mine. It's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. And
I mean, and also that whole sending whatever the rays or electric across the country into the pills. Like, is this
so weird?
Is this like the, are we going to see repercussions throughout the season? Like, that had to land somewhere else.
Oh, you mean like, you know, dark matter?
Yeah.
Basically, also like the Flash. Spreading to shit? Yeah. Yes.
So, I gotta say, and kind of back onto like, I'm sorry for going backwards, but back onto whether we're gonna see that confrontation this year and stuff between the Supergirl and like Red Daughter, basically. I just realized that, like, yeah, we are exactly halfway through the season with the end of this episode. And honestly, they usually do give us a new villain or a new something something, or they add on top of what they've already got when we hit that mid-season point.
And they really haven't, other than the whole Agent of Liberty thing.
And that's been going, and it's going to continue. I feel like they're going to double down on like Agent of Liberty, and then like, I don't know. Or maybe it just comes in at the very tail end, and who knows? But there's going to be repercussions for sure. There's got to be. And I don't know if it's going to be like through this season or just towards the end. It'll depend on how this plays out. I mean, where did they? I don't know. Who or what do you think would be affected?
Well, I'm just saying, just like we talked about the dark matter and Flash, we see it affect everybody going around. And I mean,
you think it's going to be that widespread?
Well, if it got all the way across the world into some pills in LA.
Fucking America.
But what if they were made? What if they were like pressed in Russia or like the ingredients? I don't know, man. I don't listen.
I just thought it was an odd choice of like a way to
introduce that whole storyline.
Yes. Like, oh, we're going to electrocute her with like the max amount that a defibrillator can do. And her powers are going to shoot into uphill.
Yeah.
I mean,
it seemed really forced.
Yeah, that was definitely forced.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing in the issue that I like, or in the episode that I actually took issue with.
Yeah.
But once again, not like a big enough deal for me to
care.
Yeah.
Much.
Yeah. I was like, that's weird. Okay, moving on.
same.
Yeah. You're like, if I buy aliens, I can buy this.
Pretty yeah, much.
Right. if I believe that there's a green man from Mars who's also a black man, who, yeah, who can like shape shift and read minds, like, yeah, I think I can believe the defibrillator thing. Okay. All right. Well, let's back off of that. This week we got a little more focus on personal life stuff, which is good. I'm glad to be out of the DEO for an episode, for like a solid episode. I think we were only in there for a really short amount of time. But we got more James. We got James. And wasn't that the reporter that totally like, not in like a bad way, but she pitched the idea for, or she wanted to do the pitch that Neo wanted to do, and she just was like more bold and forward, and she's the one that got it. Wasn't that her? She was like, my uncle knows so and so in the fashion
district. I believe blah, so, blah, yes. Blah.
Yeah, I think that was
okay. She's going to be a good reporter. She doesn't back down.
No, she doesn't.
yeah, I gotta wonder how much is out there, how much Lena hasn't been covering her tracks with these experiments. Well, who do you think was the source? You know?
Well,
the assistant.
Yeah. It's a,
what's her face?
That's right.
Yeah.
Eve used to work for Catco. Yeah. Why would she out that?
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't feel right about it.
Oh, shit.
Especially after, you know, some peeps died.
Rut-roo.
I mean, I can't, the heart won't die.
So creepy.
That's, yeah, I don't know. I'm impressed with James, though, this episode, because at first he was like, hey, listen, yes, look into it. And, you know, just come to me first. I'll vet everything for you. I've got more sources. I'll fact check everything and get it back to you. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what the deal is. I think he was concerned at first. One part of like, oh, shoot, is there something shady going on? And then the next part was like, oh, I got to protect Lena. And then after that, I think he just, he was going to go talk to Lena about it and be like, hey, what's the deal with your experiments? Like, someone's digging around and saying that there's stuff that's not really above the board. So what's happening in there? But I think, honestly, he's just trying to trust her judgment and understand that sometimes in science there are things that are a little sketchy. But if the end result means incredible progress, you know, Lena's not going to go, like, I don't know, crazy far, but she wouldn't do it without good reason also. So, trust her a little bit.
I was honestly surprised.
I was too.
I was a little bit, yeah.
Because he always seemed to be for the story. And I guess this is why you don't have billionaires owning news corporations.
Right, right.
Like, nope, can't rat out the boss. We want to get paid.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm appreciating where James's character is going. You remember when we were so pissed off at him?
Yeah, he's
seems like so long ago.
He's much less of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Well, he probably really understands how much that woman loves him if she's willing to go that route. Like, I can lie for you too.
Yeah.
I mean, because honestly, that's what love is sometimes.
Yeah.
One person lies and the other one backs them up, whether it's a lie or not, and they don't even know the difference. No, yeah, I totally agree. That's not even, that wasn't even true. Well, you know what? I'm going to agree with her no matter what.
Yeah. Or just protecting someone.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he finally got it. He finally realized that he was on a high horse about everything and that Lena loves him if she's willing to do that sort of thing for him, especially with the family that she was raised in and how, I don't know, against any sort of like lies and stuff like that she is. She is very, very against dishonesty in as a whole. And for her to be willing to lie to him for him or, you know, lie to someone else for him or anything like that or like bribe, that's not something that she wants to be known for, but she's willing to do it to make sure that he's going to come home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Instead of going to prison. So.
Especially for doing something good. It shocked me because, like you said, he was honest. That high horse thing was the perfect example of him. And he's kind of humbled himself now, and it's good to see. It's like character growth for him.
Yeah. It's great character growth, and it actually feels like surprising, but realistic in a way. Like it's not, it was a good catalyst for the growth. Like the whole thing with the Agent of Liberty stuff and all that, like it was a good reason for him to have some sort of growth. And you can tell that his instinct says, investigate, investigate, investigate. I'm a journalist. But with Lena, he's like, okay, dial it back in, like, trust her.
And dial it back in. I really want to be a superhero.
I really want to be a superhero.
That's really what it is.
But
it
also,
comes down to that.
I mean, she's probably going to come to him with, you know, info soon. She's probably going to want to talk to him, knowing that it's a safe place to do so.
Yeah, and maybe that could have been part of the decision, other than the, I want to be a superhero. He knows that he's going to hear about it from her, but if Katko had published a story about it, he would lose her trust immediately. So I kind of like understand where he's coming from and why he would kind of do what he did.
Yeah, definitely for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
I keep feeling like We need to see more of Lena knowing that Luther, like Lex Luthor, is coming. I keep feeling like we need to see more of, like, I don't know what, but like something. I've got this just anxiety about it.
Because she's gonna turn into Lex.
I don't think she's going to.
No, she won't. But I think they're saving it for when he comes into the picture.
Oh. Will she have her super human dude fight her big brother? You're not my real brother. Get him. Sick him. Experiment.
626?
Yeah, right. Stitch. I was going to say that, and then I was like, that's Stitch. That's weird.
Nope. My mind went there, and I just said it.
All right. With that, I guess, I don't know. Let's take a quick break. We've got so much more to talk about this episode, but like it's mostly just kind of sad personal
sad,
stuff.
Sad
yeah,
sister stuff.
Sad sister stuff.
Yeah, let me go mentally prepare for this part.
All right, let's take a break. We'll drink some water. We'll center ourselves and then come back and be sad. We'll be right back.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
And this is something that Supernatural, I don't think, has ever really had a big problem with.
Right.
All of its monsters, a lot of shows have procedural elements. We've talked about this before on the show.
There's a level of responsibility on his head as someone that is a metahuman and uses his powers for good.
She's force sensitive, but she's not a Jedi.
If you've been watching Rebels, you see that happen.
During a roundtable interview with reporters yesterday, The Flash executive producer Andrew Kreisberg revealed that Kevin Smith's...
However, race is important in the Dark Tower universe, and the relationship between Susanna Dean and Roland centers around the color of their skin.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, We Midwest Radio, the crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen for the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
All right, we are back. It is sad time, emo time here in the studio. Okay, do you guys feel like, did you think that this mind wipe on Alex was gonna like punch you in the gut so hard like an episode later? I felt like there'd be a build up to something like that at least.
I half expected it.
God.
But not to that level. Not quite to that level.
Alex is a mean lady.
She's a bitch.
Like, but she's so good. Like, Kyler Lee is such a good actress. Yeah. She really was talking to Supergirl like she didn't know who the fuck she was. And, like, she had no idea. You know, like, how dare you come onto my active scene and, like, assault me?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I would expect it to be that way.
Yeah.
Because
kind of questioning why she's so cold to Supergirl. Like, I don't think much of those memories got wiped, because I could have sworn that Alex had, like, well, I guess she knew about Supergirl from the beginning. So I don't know how she would have been if she had not known.
I think probably like she is now, you know, like,
yes.
we saw how far back it's going. Like the Wizard of Oz thing with the movie, like that's a big thing. That's Kara's favorite movie. And for a very specific reason, that's, you know, her being an alien and, you know, all of a sudden ending up on a planet she doesn't know, where things don't, you know, work the way that she would think they would. And, having to, you know, find people along the way to make her family and stuff like that. Like, Alex gives her little spiel about how, you know, when you're small and someone else, I think there's like still pent up feelings that never got a, like, they're still in her and they never got addressed because she doesn't know that Kara's Supergirl. But, like, she was talking about, you know, being small and someone being, like, bigger than you and, like, pushing you around and it makes you angry and stuff like that. It's just, I think she wants to help everyone. Alex has a huge heart that sometimes gets masked by issues with, I don't know, hurt, I guess. Just hurt of all kinds.
I the only thing that got me confused was because she knows that John is an alien.
Yeah.
And yet she treats Kara that way, or Supergirl that way.
I don't think it's because she's an alien, though. I think it's because she gets to just come on in and do whatever she wants and then fly back home. And, you know, like, she's not held, she's not accountable to anyone. And because she doesn't know her, she questions where her heart is. Alex is skeptical of people at first. Not like overwhelmingly so, to a point of thinking that someone's bad, but she's not going to tolerate insubordination from someone.
From an outsider.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, she's not going to tolerate someone doing that. Because she wasn't, like, mean to Kara before that whole incident with her being like, Director Danvers, no, don't shoot the alien. Like, at first she was just like, yeah, I'd appreciate it if you called me Director Danvers. Like, don't undermine me by trying to play it real casual. We're not friends. You're fine, but this is professional and I am the director of the DEO. And I'm sure she's still, well, now she's dealing with Haley without anyone to really vent to either, you know? Not really. She doesn't, it seems like she doesn't tell Kara as much. She was like, oh, it's nothing world ending. Like, I'm just gotta go. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't want to talk about work in full detail anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's secret government stuff.
It's secret government stuff and you're not involved in it.
Yeah.
Because you're not Supergirl.
Because you're not Supergirl at all. You're not Supergirl anyway.
And you're a reporter and I can't trust you.
Yeah.
That too.
Oh yeah, God, that too. I don't think it has anything to do with being an alien, especially since I'm sure she still has her memories of, you know, being gay, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she'd be a little understanding of not being the norm to people. But that hurt me to watch. I was like, but I stopped it and no one got hurt this way. And I wouldn't have gotten hurt if you shot the bullet. So why is the mean lady so mean?
Why are you so angry at me?
That would hurt, man. For someone, like, if someone that I loved talked to me that way and looked at me like that, like they didn't know me, you know what I mean? Like, that would hurt. And I kind of got bummed out that Jean just, like, walked away. But I guess in hindsight, he was, like, he glanced back at Supergirl, but I guess he was probably not trying to make it seem like he had any sort of relation to her or, like, knew her in any personal way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if he did, then they're going to try and, you know, call him in for questioning, even though he's not at the DEO anymore. Yeah, I don't. This is going to suck, guys.
This is going to real suck. And this could end really, really bad, honestly, because once Alex finds out that John lied to her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like.
She's the big bad?
I feel like by that point, though, like they'll be giving her her memories back or helping her try to recover them. And like,
I really hope so,
because Jean could at least share the memory of Alex telling him to wipe her mind. You know what I mean? Like, that was a shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
But Jean has it in his mind, too. So he could be like, Alex, come here. Mm-hmm. Watch this. You told me to do this thing. Like, yeah. You can't get mad.
Stop being an asshole.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this for too much longer.
I kind of don't either.
It's honestly heartbreaking.
I mean, I'm kind of glad they didn't just, like, when she started questioning, they didn't immediately were like, oh yeah, here's your memories back. Like, I'm glad they didn't do that. It does kind of need to go on for at least another episode or something.
We got to get Haley out of the picture and then we can try and get her memories back.
Yeah, and then that'd be great.
Or at least some of them. Jesus.
Something to soften her.
Yeah, Jesus. Because it's very obvious now that Kara was what grounded Alex. And she was able to do so even more and make her a softer, more compassionate version of herself. Because she was involved in every aspect of Alex's life. So that just goes to show how warm of a person Kara is and what an influence she is on the people around her.
Mm-hmm.
That this is what Kara is like without having, or this is what Alex is like without having Kara more involved in her life. She's colder, harsher, kind of like she used to be before she knew that Kara was Supergirl, like at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that Alex was pretty cold at the beginning of this show. It's not like she didn't like Kara or something, but she was very, like, cold and just like, this is business and, like, you know, this is my job and I did all this shit for you to protect you, because it was always you that was, like, you know, having to be catered to. Man. All right. Well, let's move on from this sad sister tale to a different sad sister tale. Yay!
I think this one's even more sad.
Yeah.
With the way it ended.
So, Nia, we finally get real backstory for her, and it was satisfying. Her older sister, Maeve, she's pretty. She's apparently a prodigy at just everything she does. And I'm sure I kind of can see how or why Nia as a character would grow up being kind of meek and kind of like she's sure of herself, but also kind of like unsure of herself as compared to others. She's like, she questions herself a lot if there's someone else around that could possibly be better or do better at something. And we saw that a lot with her first pitch that she wanted to make at Catco. And it's not because the other person was mean or like totally bulldozed her or anything like that, but her sister has that same type of personality where she's just very extroverted, very outgoing, and she's good at what she does. So Nia just takes a step back and lets them take the lead. She seems like she's very intimidated by her older sister for probably many reasons.
Yeah, I'd have to say that's definitely right. And that can be, you know, that's, you see that a lot with siblings. I feel like if one is more like that, and it's usually the younger one that's like, I'll just take a back seat. It's fine. Yeah. So I wasn't a big fan of Maeve the whole time.
Yeah, she was, she would get old very quick to me.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, okay, so we get this backstory. We, you know, we learn more about this whole dreamer power, stuff like that. Her grandma was dreamer or dream girl or whatever, you know, on their home planet. They came, like, her mom landed on Earth. She's half human, half alien. And her sister, they just all assumed that genetically, because she was the one born female, she would get the powers. But I guess magic don't work that way.
Nope. It's going to pick and choose.
Yeah. So this is, I don't know, this was all very...
Would you give up powers, or would you want to give up the power like she was trying to?
No, but I know that guilt, man. That's my life. I live there. I feel guilty for shit that's out of my control. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to... I don't want to be the root cause of someone else's suffering or for them not being able to achieve what, like,
especially
what
if they've
want.
Been studying it their whole life.
She's wanted mm-hmm. this her whole life. And she's been expecting it her whole life.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden... it's not happening for her. She's been preparing. And yeah. And instead of, I mean, I can understand being upset, but at the same time, like, it's not Nia's fault.
Yeah. And the comment she made was like, damn, bitch.
Dude, that like, was.
That was just, ew. It was ew.
So, okay. So first, before we get into all of that stuff, all the way super heavy shit, Nia has not been understanding her dreams. Brainy kind of helped her take a little bit more control and learn how to kind of exist and maneuver herself within her dreams and kind of look around and take things in and not just be overwhelmed by it, but be in control of what's in front of her to the best she can. And now, after, you know, that little dream in the car and her mom dying and all of this stuff, it seems like her power is going to be cool. It's going to be something that she does have to study up on and learn things about and decode things. It's not just going to be like, I see this guy at this place at this time. This is going to happen. He's the killer. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's more to it than just that. It feels a lot like in the Constantine series. It feels like Zed's character from Constantine, how she had these visions.
It smells like violets and...
Yeah, and the woman's name was Violet, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Something like that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's, or she wears Violet, like, it's something.
It was something. It was but something yeah, like it was that, a, yeah. They always had some weird way to swing it.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just literal.
And that's, I don't know, I think that's the best way to do it. I think that's the coolest possible way to handle this power.
Yeah, I definitely like that, because otherwise if it was like, you know, he killed him in the library with a candlestick or whatever, some bullshit like that. It would just be too easy.
Yeah. Well, they would kind of be like Mary suing her, as the internet likes to throw around.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, she's had no training and all of a sudden she's a powerful hero and just has like all of these things given to her and she can just see everything and know how perfect. But yeah, I like what they're doing with her visions too. Like the little dream sequences were cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So touch base back on everyone's reactions to Nia being the dreamer. Her mom was surprised and I think felt foolish for not even considering, but instantly knew, you know, you're the one that has this fire within you. You have this in your personality and you're going to be great because of it. Of course it was you. And then Maeve was horrible. But like that is, I didn't think they were going to go there.
I was a little surprised by that.
It shocked me.
But at the same time, kind of okay that they went there because this is reality.
I'm solidly glad that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is what transgender people face sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not even a real girl.
Yeah. And it's like, damn.
Wow. Okay.
Wasn't Kara there to hear that too?
Yeah.
I was really surprised she didn't.
And she just cringed.
Yeah. I'm surprised she didn't go, hey.
Yeah, but Kara's gotten a lot more tact as she's matured over the course of four seasons. she's gotten a lot more tact as far as where to butt in and when to stay quiet for someone else's sake and then offer them assistance after.
Yeah.
It was so important for that scene to happen for a lot of reasons. And one of them, I think, is that now, while Nia's been progressively like more delightful to have on screen, and you know, the more we found out about her backstory, the more I've been liking her, and I think everyone kind of agrees. And her interactions with Brainy are becoming increasingly fun and something that we look forward to as well. But there still wasn't a certain level of attachment there that I think I have to the other characters. But after that moment, I'm just like, no, 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 no. Like you back off. Just I'm going to hug her and hold her and keep her safe and get out of here. No one wants you. Maeve, you're a bitch.
Such a bitch. Don't hurt my little cinnamon roll.
Yeah. Now I'm like a little attached out of like, my God, you poor sweet thing. No, come here. We will keep you safe. I feel for her. My heart ached for her. So I think that was kind of it, man. Like that was that heart-wrenching moment that we needed to go, nah, Nia, you do this. You go give them hell. Like,
well,
be a hero.
That's that moment if you know if they've done a character right.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Because if you had any other reaction, I something probably wrong with you,
right?
But you know, now you're like completely all in on this character that you feel like her struggle with just that one line from a family member.
Yeah,
exactly. Man. And she even talked about how like there were people that didn't understand, of course, but my family's always been supportive, and you know, if I grew up anywhere else that wasn't so inclusive, I might have had a way harder time, and I'm really grateful for that. And that line, that one horrible, hurtful line came from the one place that she didn't expect, her family. And to be fair, their mom just died and her sister just found out that the one thing that she's been aspiring to her entire life is not happening for her. And that's a lot of things to take in one day. there's your emotions are not in check. You are not yourself at that time. So she, with the proper apology, she can get a pass from me. That's fine. But you gotta be real with that apology. But like, yeah, I'm all in on Nia now. And this was exactly the reason for Kara to show the way they wrote this. Getting to the end of the episode was a treat, I feel like, because watching Kara struggle with Alex and be brokenhearted about that, and then watching what happened to Nia and trying to offer support but not being able to actually say anything to her because she's like, no, you don't understand. You know, I'm an alien and I have powers and my sister doesn't, and it's this whole thing, and how could you possibly understand? And Kara needs someone to talk to too. So these just aligned. They wrote this so well.
Yeah.
Although
we were definitely joking, like, screw you, Alex, I got a new sister.
Yeah. But I think if it had gone differently, I don't know. I would have been like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But this feels good. You know, I'm like hyped about it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels, this feels like a partnership that's going to do well and last a while, because they're forming it not out of like, oh, you have powers, I also have powers, let's do this thing. But no, they're bonding over shared struggles and shared strengths, and I don't know. I think it's going to go really well.
I think so too. I definitely agree.
No, they did well, establishing the character, making you feel for her, and I don't know if they've written a better character lately.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, because everybody else had their struggles,
mm-hmm.
and she really hasn't.
Yeah, not until now.
Yeah.
But just like, this is some of the best writing for a character that we've seen on this show, period, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
This episode was phenomenal. And the way that they tied this together and gave them, you know, there's of course these parallel things kind of going on, but putting both Nia and Kara in such a vulnerable state at basically the same time, to where they really needed to rely on each other. And Kara doesn't give up her identity easily, but she really needed someone. And Nia's not attached to Alex. She's not attached to the DEO. Like, she doesn't have any connections that way. So she's safe from that. And Kara needs help right now, both just on a friendship level and also like being a superhero.
She needs an ice cream meeting buddy.
Yeah, she's an ice cream. She needs to win, but not win, because Wayne didn't have powers, but he was great. I don't know. I think I'm more hyped about Nia being Dreamer and being a hero now than I was before too, because her dream things are pretty cool. And
I like the way they got the suit, and the suit made sense to like how they were dressed in the dreams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I think they did good. I'm impressed. I'm ready. Let's do this. Final thoughts on this episode, I guess. Nicole, you go first.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, just on the hype train with Nia and Kara. I'm really excited to see how the Dreamer character continues to develop and how she continues to grow. Overall, the episode was pretty good, but I really want to see what the hell is going on with the Red Sun Daughter thing. And overall, I just really want to see what happens next. Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Bob, how you feeling about things?
So the storyline helped out what was probably the shittiest CGI I've seen in the show, and who knows how long. when she is above the barn, like blowing the fire out.
Yeah.
I'm like looking at that. I'm like, oh my gosh, you look like you cut out a shitty fucking version of it and just laid it over the top. Like, even like the Incredible Hulk alien things, you know, there was a lot of stuff that thank God we had a good story to go on it, because it overshadows the shitty CGI and some of the things that were going on. And I think that was my like only complaint, that I was like, I looked at it, I'm like, wow, that looks like shit. So, but again, some of the best storytelling they've done in a while, that it kind of offset that part of the episode for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think I was actually too distracted to notice how bad that was.
I was too.
It was.
Mm-hmm. I think I was already a little emotional. hadn't reached the apex of that yet, but I don't think I was ready to like Nia as a character. I don't think I was ready to like be this invested in like love her. There's always reservations with new characters about how they're going to write them, especially when they're worried about representation and stuff like that. But they've done really well, and trans is not her identity. It's just a little fact about what she's gone through physically and emotionally. It's just a little piece of her. It's not who she is. And that's the best thing that they could have done. It's been dropped casually into conversation, I think, twice since she's been on this show. And both times it was for a purpose.
It was part of a normal.
It was exactly the way I think. It's exactly the way I know from conversations a person who is trans would bring that up. You know what I mean? Like, they bring it up because it's related to the conversation and related to a personal experience, and it has merit in the conversation, not because they're just like, I'm trans, like just running down the street. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what people do about anything. And yeah, just the pacing this week was good. The writing was good. CG kind of sucked a little bit, but like I can give that a pass. I feel like we hit a little bit of a lull in one or two episodes earlier on, but I'm like super back on board now. And I'm just, I want them to give us more. Because the Red Sun thing is driving me crazy. Because we've got all these looming things and nothing's happening. We haven't even had like Agent Liberty in a while. It's just been like the children.
Yeah.
What is happening?
I know. That's like the one thing that's what I mean by like, I want to see what happens next because I want them to move on.
Yeah. But I'm glad we took this little emotional roller coaster this week. It was a great way to get us behind Nia as a character, as a hero, rooting for her, and rooting for Kara too. Just, you know, sweet, sweet little angels, be okay. You can do it. Believe in you. I don't know. I'm excited for next week. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the rest of the season. I'm even less bummed this week about Wynn not being back this season, because now there's more stuff, more investments, and I feel like it would be even messier bringing more people back. So,
oh yeah, right now especially.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's going to do it for today's DC on CW Supergirl edition. You can catch all of our past and future episodes on DCOnCW.com is now a thing that we have set up. Like I said earlier, we're on Spotify now too. That's a new thing. You know our social media by now, and we will catch you next week.
People want cuddles.